Today is Thursday, June 25th, and this is the World Socialist Website. Turkey launches police dragnet ahead of NATO summit. War, dictatorship, and permanent revolution. By Ulaş Sevinç. Turkey is being subjected to a police state mobilization in the shadow of the 36th NATO summit, which will be held in its capital, Ankara, on July 7th and 8th. As it prepares to roll out the red carpet for U.S. President Donald Trump, who is leading the war of aggression against Iran and made the genocide in Gaza possible, and other imperialist war criminals, the regime of President Recep Tayyip Erdogan is seeking to suppress all opposition to war, genocide, and militarism. The Ankara government placed the capital under a de facto state of emergency, banning all demonstrations, press statements, hunger strikes, and the distribution of leaflets across the city for 13 days, from June 28th to July 10th. This was followed on Tuesday morning by the detention of 209 people and simultaneous house raids in numerous provinces, coming after the arrest of more than 30 anti-NATO activists in previous weeks. This operation targeted representatives of anti-war parties and mass organizations, journalists, academics, and lawyers. During the same time, operations were carried out against the Adalar municipality in Istanbul and the Silifke municipality in Mersin, both run by the Kemalist Republican People's Party, or CHP. Dozens of people, including elected mayors, were arrested, and the constitutional right to vote and to be elected was once again violated without any court ruling. Adalar Mayor Ali Erkan Akpolat and Silifke Mayor Mustafa Turgut were removed from office by the Interior Ministry. The International Committee of the Fourth International, or ICFI, and the Socialist Equality parties affiliated with it, condemn this widespread police state repression and demand the immediate release of all political prisoners. In addition to the campaign by the Socialist İşçi Parti in Turkey, the Socialist İşçi Parti, SGP, in Germany, held a rally on Wednesday in front of the Turkish embassy in Berlin and wanted to deliver an open letter to the ambassador demanding freedom for Erkan Akpolat and other elected politicians and anti-NATO activists. The embassy refused to accept the letter, thereby confirming the political nature of the operations. The operations targeting these municipalities are the latest moves in an ongoing politically motivated judicial campaign against the CHP. This wave of repression was triggered when the CHP overtook President Erdogan's Justice and Development Party, or AKP, to become the leading party nationwide in the March 2024 local elections, and when Istanbul Metropolitan Mayor Ekrem İmamoğlu of the CHP pulled ahead of Erdogan in the polls. İmamoğlu's arrest in March 2025 was followed by similar operations and arrests targeting dozens of municipalities. Last month, a court exceeded its jurisdiction to remove the CHP's elected leadership under Özgür Özel. These measures constitute the two faces of the Erdogan regime's response to the imperialist war engulfing Turkey's borders and to the social explosion brewing at home. The regime is seeking to manage this insoluble crisis by constructing a presidential dictatorship, doing so with the approval of U.S. President Donald Trump and the European capitals, and on behalf of the Turkish bourgeoisie. At the same time, the progressive suspension of constitutional and legal norms in Turkey serves as an example and an inspiration to the American European ruling elites who confront the same crisis. The significance of the operation against the Adalar municipality goes beyond Erdogan's drive to neutralize his political rival, the CHP. Buyukada, or Prinkipo, part of Adalar, is the island where Leon Trotsky spent his years of exile between 1929 in 1933, where, alongside My Life in the History of the Russian Revolution he wrote works of critical importance against the rise of fascism and against Stalinism, and where in 1933 he issued the call to found the Fourth International. Together with Vladimir Lenin, Trotsky led the Soviet regime, whose military and political support played a decisive role in the victory of Turkey's National Liberation War of 1919 through 1922. President Mustafa Kemal Atatürk himself acknowledged the role of this support in 1929. Since 2023, the World Socialist website has conducted a principled collaboration with the Adalar Municipality and Akpolat within the framework of the International Commemoration of Leon Trotsky events held on the island every August and the project to transform Trotsky's house into an international cultural center. The operation also objectively threatens this historical memory project of international significance. Erdogan's purge of his political rivals is part of the collapse of democratic forms of rule internationally. What is taking in place in Turkey gained momentum with Trump's return to office in the United States and his war on basic democratic rights. In Europe, the ruling elites are raising military spending to record levels and imposing social cuts, while promoting far-right forces and intensifying repression against the growing opposition among workers and youth. In Turkey, a country bearing the stamp of belated capitalist development and one of the key hubs of global geopolitics, international and class contradictions are no longer compatible with even the most limited democratic norms. A driving force behind this repression is the war encircling Turkey. NATO is convening in Ankara at a time when, under the leadership of the European powers, it is escalating the war against Russia and forcing member states into record military spending. The fragile ceasefire in the Iran war has not assuaged U.S. imperialism's drive for total domination of the Middle East and the world. Far from diminishing this offensive, the debacle in the war of aggression against Iran will only make it more reckless. All of this is ultimately part of the preparations for war against China in the imperialist redivision of the world. Commanding NATO's second-largest army, Erdogan is tightening his ties with his imperialist allies through air defense reinforcements and a naval headquarters established in Istanbul against Russia. The Erdogan regime is seeking to prevent the population's powerful anti-imperialist sentiments from erupting in the form of a mass movement against war and genocide. Polls show that more than 90% of Turkey's population oppose the war against Iran and the U.S. bases in the country. Erdogan, for his part, despite his rhetorical criticisms of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, brokers the flow of Azerbaijani oil to Israel, expands the U.S.-NATO presence in the country, and participates in Trump's Board of Peace for Gaza, and, in the war against Iran, condemns Iran's legitimate retaliation rather than the United States' aggression. The construction of a presidential dictatorship is an attempt to close this chasm by force. The chasm between the Turkish ruling class's ties to imperialism and its reactionary interests on the one hand, and the anti-war sentiment of the working masses on the other. Another major factor accelerating the collapse of democracy is the unprecedented level of social inequality in the intensifying class struggles. Turkey ranks among the highest in Europe in social inequality. While the financial oligarchy adds wealth to wealth, workers are caught in the grip of an ever-worsening cost-of-living crisis. This polarization expresses itself every day in new struggles. Private sector teachers fighting in Ankara for a guaranteed base wage and decent working conditions. Workers who have torn down barricades to seize a mine, defying the armed assault of corporate thugs, and rebelled against the trade union bureaucracies. The Turkish ruling class is sitting on a social powder keg, and police state repression is increasingly aimed directly at the working class and the threat of social revolution emanating from it. Although the CHP is a target of Erdogan's repression, it is completely unable to provide a progressive response to this crisis. The CHP, or any other bourgeois party, is, by its very nature, incapable of consistently defending democratic rights or opposing imperialism. The CHP is the party of Atatürk, who founded the Republic of Turkey in 1923. It is a party that represents the interests of the same ruling class as the AKP and is deeply tied to NATO imperialism. Özgür Özel's rhetoric of resistance to the repression has rapidly turned into acquiescence, because Özel, like Erdogan, fears above all the development of an independent movement of the working class that would shake the foundations of the capitalist system and bourgeois rule. For this reason, Özel appeals not to the working class, but to its enemies and the enemies of democracy, the imperialist NATO powers. In an article he wrote for Newsweek magazine, he warned these powers that the growing social opposition to the Erdogan government had reached a point beyond control, and that the consequences of a revolutionary explosion would affect them as well. It could not be demonstrated more clearly that democratic rights cannot be defended under the leadership of a bourgeois party dependent on imperialism. All of this proves in practice the correctness of Trotsky's theory of permanent revolution. In the epoch of imperialism, no section of the bourgeoisie in countries of belated capitalist development is capable of establishing a democratic regime, achieving independence from imperialism, or answering the social aspirations of the working people. The task of halting imperialist war, securing the democratic rights of the Kurdish people and all of the oppressed of the region, and putting an end to social inequality, falls to the working class in Turkey and internationally. The struggle for democratic and social rights cannot be separated from the struggle against imperialism. This means the struggle for a socialist federation of the Middle East, based on the perspective of world socialist revolution. The crisis in Turkey demonstrates that there is no solution to the global collapse of bourgeois democracy within the existing capitalist institutions. The only way forward is the establishment of workers' power through the revolutionary mobilization of the working class. This is the perspective for which the International Committee of the Fourth International and its Turkish section, the Socialist Estelik Partisi, are fighting. Democrats choose five more military intelligence veterans as congressional candidates, by Patrick Martin. While the bulk of the public and media attention to the results of Tuesday's primary elections has focused on the shift to the left among voters in New York City, the Democratic Party as an organization has further cemented its ties to the military intelligence apparatus, selecting a former Navy admiral and four veterans of wars in the Middle East as congressional candidates. Three of the military veterans were chosen to challenge Republican incumbents in New York State. Christopher Gallant, a military air traffic controller and helicopter pilot deployed several times to Kuwait, will be the Democratic nominee in the 1st Congressional District, which covers the eastern half of Long Island, including most of Suffolk County. The seat is currently held by two-term Republican Nicholas LaLota, and before that, for four terms by Lee Zeldin, chosen by Trump to be the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA. Under its current boundaries, the district would have been a dead heat between Trump and Biden in 2020, so it is considered competitive despite being held by Republicans since 2014. The highest-profile Democratic contest outside of New York City was for the congressional nomination in the 17th District in the lower Hudson River Valley, including parts of Westchester, Putnam, Orange, and Rockland counties. The seat is currently held by two-term Representative Mike Lawler, one of a handful of Republicans elected in districts won by Kamala Harris in 2024. The Democratic primary was won by Caitlin Conley, a West Point graduate with six tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan, where she became the first woman to command a unit of U.S. Special Forces. Such units were responsible for some of the bloodiest atrocities in those wars. After 16 years in the Army, she worked for the Biden administration, on the National Security Council, and at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. Conley defeated four other candidates, including Beth Davidson, a Rockland County legislator with a more conventional political background, widely supported among local elected Democrats with considerable financial backing. However, Conley raised far more money, $3.2 million to $2 million, and had national endorsements from gay and lesbian groups, she's lesbian, and from Vote Vets, which finances Democratic candidates with military backgrounds. She also had two crucial endorsements from military intelligence veterans already in Congress. Jason Crow of Colorado, perhaps the most prominent of the CIA Democrats elected in 2018, who is still in the House of Representatives, and Pat Ryan, a former Army intelligence officer with two tours in the Iraq War, who was elected in the neighboring 18th Congressional District of New York in 2022. The 24th Congressional District is much less competitive, since redistricting created safe Democratic seats based on Syracuse and Rochester, while connecting the remaining areas along Lake Ontario from Niagara all the way to the Adirondack Mountains into a single largely rural district. Trump won the district easily in 2024, despite losing the state to Kamala Harris by a 57-41% margin. The Democratic nomination to challenge incumbent Republican Claudia Tenney was won by Alyssa Elliman, a Army veteran of the Afghanistan War, who went on to work at the Department of Veterans Affairs until she was fired in early 2025 as part of the rampage against federal workers spearheaded by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. In South Carolina, former Vice Admiral Nancy LaCour won a runoff for the Democratic nomination in the state's first congressional district, which includes the city of Charleston and much of the Atlantic coast. The seat is held by right-wing Republican Nancy Mace, who stepped down in order to run for governor, where she ran a poor fifth in the Republican primary. LaCour is a 36-year veteran of the Navy, commanding units during the war in Afghanistan, as well as Camp Le Monnier, the U.S. base in Djibouti, near the critical Bab el-Mandeb Strait. Her highest position was as head of the 60,000-strong Navy Reserve, from which she was removed in August 2025 by Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth as part of a broader purge that targets officers believed to be unsympathetic to the Trump administration, particularly women and minorities. She has made her removal and forced retirement a central issue in her congressional campaign, seeking support from the large number of current and retired naval personnel who live in the Charleston area. LaCour has raised $1.6 million already, more than four times the amount raised by Jennifer Honeycutt, who won Tuesday's runoff for the Republican nomination. Honeycutt is expected to make up that gap quickly, as the National Republican Party and the White House will pour in funds to hold the seat given up by Mace. The fifth military intelligence Democrat to win nomination Tuesday was Johnny Larson, a Marine veteran of the Iraq War, who boasts on his campaign website that his battalion tore down the statue of Saddam Hussein in 2003 when the U.S. forces seized Baghdad. Larson is given little chance in his race in the 4th Congressional District of Utah against first-term Republican Mike Kennedy. The Republican-controlled state legislature adopted a gerrymander that broke up Salt Lake City into four separate districts, each with Republican majorities. A court decision earlier this year forced the restoration of a Salt Lake City Center district with a Democratic majority, thereby increasing the Republican majorities in the other three districts, including Kennedy's. If Larson and Alyssa Elliman have little chance, the other three military intelligence Democrats, Caitlin Conley, Christopher Gallant, and Nancy LaCour, could well end up elected to Congress. They would go to Washington as part of an increasingly influential faction of the Democratic Party. Of the nearly two dozen former military officers, intelligence agents, and State Department officials elected to Congress as Democrats since 2018, five have moved up to higher-level statewide office. Alyssa Slotkin and Andy Kim hold Senate seats from Michigan and New Jersey. Abigail Spanberger and Mikey Sherrill are governors of Virginia and New Jersey. Jeff Jackson is Attorney General of North Carolina. At least 9 are current members of the House of Representatives, and that number could easily double based on current nominations if the Democrats gain significantly in November.
This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.